This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick. On Monday, we brought you the latest on reports of sexual harassment, sexual assault, and bullying by the former host of this program, John Hockenberry. That news broke in New York Magazine in a story written by author and journalist Suki Kim. Suki, who wrote about her personal experiences with John Hockenberry, also talked to some women who've worked on and around The Takeaway over the last several many years. Here's Suki on our show yesterday.
Look, I think that management did not protect these women. And everybody turned a blind eye because I was looking into this, for a month? You know, these people have been there for a decade.
Well, today we look at what John Hockenberry's behavior meant for the work environment at The Takeaway and our parent station, WNYC. We again invited WNYC president and CEO Laura Walker on this program today, as well as WNYC's chief content officer, Dean Capello, who for a long time oversaw many elements of this show. They both declined to come on our air today. Although Laura Walker did appear today on WNYC's local Brian Lehrer show, we'll have some excerpts from that interview in just a moment. And a reminder, you can read New York Public Radio's full statement about John Hockenberry as well as PRI's statement on our website. That's at thetakeaway.org. Ilya Meritz was working on his own investigation of John Hockenberry's behavior and WNYC when Suki Kim's story broke. Ilya is a reporter in the WNYC newsroom. He's in the studio with me now. Ilya, thanks for being here.
Hi, Todd.
Before we get started with this conversation, please let's quickly just reset what we know, what you know about the confirmed allegations about John Hockenberry's behavior here.
Yeah, so there are four confirmed allegations of harassment by John Hockenberry at the show. Going chronologically, the first was a producer in 2011 who said that when she and John were meeting to talk about show business, and they happened to be alone in a room, he kind of leaned over and kissed her unexpectedly. It was also unwelcome. The next allegation comes from another producer who said that John propositioned her to get a hotel room together. Both of those women no longer work at the station, and that those allegations were not reported to executives at the company, as I understand it. Then we have Suki Kim herself, who, through a WNYC employee, filed a complaint this past year, early this year, I should say. And Suki had appeared on the show, and John had basically made himself a nuisance in her life over the course of about a year, constantly wanting to make dates and hang out, and it just was very unseemly and annoying to her. And then lastly, a former producer, Kristen Meinzer, came forward and told her story about being kissed, similar to the first producer I mentioned, being kissed by John against her will, and Kristen also no longer works at the station.
And Ilya, talk about John's behavior inside the studio with a series of co-hosts who he worked with over the years.
Yeah, it's really striking. The first co-host, the founding co-host, Adore Udoji, isn't talking, but I know from people who were there at the time that John seemed to undercut her a lot of the time, that John and Adora clashed a lot of the time. And then we get a much more detailed picture from the second co-host, who was Celeste Headlee. Celeste Headlee joined in 2009, and she stayed until 2012. She said things were cordial for a period of a few months. She really liked John and respected him. But at a certain point, he just started constantly jumping in on her interviews, thinking that he knew better, kind of having to be the loudest voice in the room. He would also kind of rattle her cage before and after the show, and was really prone to a lot of emotional outbursts that made it very hard for her to do her job. She finally escalated that, filed a formal complaint in April of 2012. In July of 2012, she was told that she no longer had a job because The Takeaway was changing format, going to a midday, more of a midday type show in many markets, not directly competing with Morning Edition, and only 1 hour. So they only needed one host, and they chose to have John be that host. I should also quickly mention Farai Chidea, who was a frequent fill-in host. She is African-American. One time she reported that she met with John, and John said words to the effect of, you don't want to be the diversity hire here, and also you ought to lose weight. And I know that Farai also reported that to station management.
All three of these women, two hosts and one temporary fill-in host, Adora, Celeste, Farai, all African-American women, it should be pointed out, which is part of this story as well. Ilya, Laura Walker was on WNYC's local program, Brian Lehrer, earlier today. She has not come on this show, but we do have some cuts from her. And she didn't talk to you either, as I understand it. Is that correct?
No.
Okay. So what we have then are Laura Walker's comments on another show here at WNYC. Here's what she said.
Every day for the last several weeks, I have asked myself whether we took enough action and whether we should really look at our protocols. I apologize to Farai, to Kristen, to the women who came forward. I have a huge amount of admiration and respect for these women for coming forward at this time. And I apologize that our protocols were not there and our policies were not there.
Ilya, one of the big questions now is what management knew about John's behavior and when, and what they knew when John's contract was not renewed at the end of June earlier this summer. Here's Laura Walker again.
I can't get into the specific information about that. I will say that I knew about some of the behavior. The media reports over the last few days have been deeply disturbing. Some of the behaviors described in the media were known to me and to New York Public Radio. I was made aware of Suki Kim's complaint, which was investigated at the time. And after consulting with our partner, PRI, we took action.
Now, based on your reporting, Ilya, and Laura Walker's statement there, what can you say?
Well, she's added not all that much to the narrative, I have to say. I'm unsatisfied. I'd like to know who actually made the decision, who pulls the trigger. And if it's made by group, then I hope that Laura would tell us who the names of the people are and what their positions are who make that decision. But she has now said and clarified for the record he was not fired. His contract was allowed to lapse, and it wasn't over harassment. That's not the reason. They were aware of harassment, but he wasn't fired because of harassment.
Well, he wasn't fired at all. So saying that John wasn't fired for sexual harassment is dependent on the notion that he wasn't fired at all. His contract was not renewed.
Yeah.
What does Laura Walker say about why his contract was not renewed?
As with so many other things, she has said it's company policy to keep personnel matters confidential. She cited company policy more than she cited the law, and she did say that there is now a full review of company policies. I think she understands that that's very unsatisfying, not only to people who work in this building in New York City, but actually to many of our listeners and members and people who support these shows. They want more information. She says there is a review underway now over those questions.
Ilya, one of the people who's absent from this conversation so far is WNYC's chief content officer, Dean Capello. He helped start The Takeaway, but was also the upper management person directly responsible for this show for many, many years, above a series of executive producers, all males, I should point out. Irva Gunja is our executive producer now. What has Dean said to you?
Nothing. I've been requesting interviews with the executives at this station. But you are correct. There are a lot of important questions to ask Laura. There's a lot of important questions to ask Dean. I should mention Dean launched the show. He was here from 2007 to create the show. The show officially launched in the spring of 2008, and then he acted as executive producer in 2008 and 2009. And even after he took more of a backseat role, he still held sway over budgets and personnel decisions. It's really clear to me from my reporting that Laura and Dean both knew that John could be a bully to his own staff. They also both clearly knew that he had crossed some lines with three different African-American co-hosts. What I don't know is whether they knew anything about any kind of sexual harassment beforehand. I have no indication that they did, but even barring that, there are so many troubling questions about the stuff that they did know that was happening here at The Takeaway.
And one of the questions that remains on the side of this that is John's behavior in the studio with his co-hosts, with these three women of color who came and went in succession, given the relationships were what they were, and you mentioned that John and Adora clashed and that John and Celeste clashed, and that John said offensive things to Farai Chidey, and she was a temporary fill-in, but essentially went away from that role. She was not an employee. Is that as these women fell away from their role in the show at each successive point, that it was John Hockenberry who was left here and was left standing when management decided that these people couldn't get along. It was John who remained.
I think people believed this show couldn't work without John. John had very quick wits. John was really good in a live situation, and certainly in the first years of this show, when it was a four-hour program with a lot of patches and repeats that were happening later on, you needed a host who was really nimble, who was up to this job. John evidently convinced executives at this company that he was that person and that the show was not going to work without him, even if there were a lot of other things about his behavior that troubled them, I hope troubled them, and that ought to have been red flags.
We're going to continue to follow this story closely. Ilya Meritz from the WNYC Newsroom. You're going to help us do that, and I appreciate you being here. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, as we've continued to cover sexual harassment and assault in the workplace for months, our phone lines have been opening up. The same is true today. And as we examine ourselves and our internal culture here at our show, your voice, as always, is a crucial part of this conversation.
Calling from Deep River, Connecticut, and I was just listening to about the story about John Hockenberry. I don't know what else to say. Where does it end and where does it start? It's really interesting that men have done what they have for years and nobody really has cared, and now they're being taken to task for it. So I don't know, but let due diligence perform its task, I guess, is all I have to say. Thank you.
Hi, this is Kim from Coral Gables, Florida. After listening to today's episode of The Takeaway, I just wanted to thank Todd Zwillick for his honest remorse and understanding of what he could have done better. I believe that this is a very wonderful example of how all white men who may not be receiving the same treatment or might not be aware of how their colleagues are being assaulted, are being abused, etc., how we can all make changes moving forward.
Kim, I appreciate what you have to say. I am trying to be better, and this episode with John has led me to question a lot of things about myself and about how I've operated in the workplace for my whole career, and I hope it's doing that for a lot of other men and a lot of other white men as well. It's a moment for that. Maybe that's one thing to be thankful for here. We're going to continue hearing from you, and we want to keep hearing from you as we always do on this show. In this moment that's been difficult, is difficult and is a moment of reckoning, not only for the country, but for us here at The Takeaway. And we're bringing you right along with us as that happens. It's important that you stay in touch with us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. You can reach us on Facebook. You can always tweet us at The Takeaway.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.